Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You say, well, we're still there. Yes, we are. We're going to do the next section here. We got probably at least this message and probably one more. We'll see. And wanted to walk through this whole thought with us. You can see our theme for next year is, well, this year. Huh? It's not next year. No, it's this year. With God, all things are possible. And I encourage you to be here. We'll have a series of messages that I think will be a real blessing to you. Also, thinking about this, the Bible readings are out there on the rack out in the back corner here in the lobby, and they're just free for the taking. One of them says chronological order. One of them says biblical order. So you kind of make sure you know which one you're looking for there. And encourage, we have a lot of folks who will read through the Bible. We've got folks who've been doing it now for several years, some for many years, but encourage you to do that. And just take some time. Just get the context and get the Word of God in your heart. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. All right, let's pray. And then we're going to kind of work through this passage. And this morning, we kind of came up to this point last week. We're talking about stick with the process, claim the promises. Stick with the process, claim the promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for each one you brought away here this morning. And Lord, if there be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'll come to know Christ this morning. And though I'm really not speaking on that direction here this morning, we know that Lord, your Holy Spirit works in many ways. And I can't speak to all the hearts and all the needs, but Lord, you certainly can. So Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in each step, guide our hearts, guide the scriptures in our hearts, and pray that you'll help me, my words, to be what you want them to be. I give that myself to you. Ask your Spirit to move. And Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be with us and take care of those needs. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church. And pray, Lord, just help us to continue to grow in you. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Got to work our introduction by starting in chapter 6, verse 1. And remind you of a couple things as we go along. We'll try to do this fast. I know you say, well, we do this every week. I know, but you know when it's all said and done, it makes more sense if you let me do this with you. So just hang tight with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, verses 1 through 6, tells us that the commandments, the laws, and the statutes, which are the enactments, the applications of those laws, and the judgments, is how to use those laws to discern right and wrong. Those commandments are to be taught to all of us, to us and to our sons and to our sons' sons. It says in verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life. Why? And that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, not just in thy head, but in thy heart. These are not to be taught just as information, nor as simply, watch, our heritage or our tradition. It's starting to bother me because we think we're doing well. We're calling traditional marriage. I'm not looking for a traditional marriage. I'm looking for a biblical marriage. Traditions change. There's different traditions around the world. You bring somebody, and folks coming in from all over the world all the time. I'm not looking for traditional. I'm looking for biblical. We got there's a difference. I'm not looking for Judeo-Christian tradition. No, I'm looking about the faith in God Almighty, Lord Jehovah, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who's also God. We're talking about a faith, not just a tradition. It's not just pretty pictures. It's not just rituals. This is a faith that goes into the very heart of who the person is.
We are to be taught these things so we will do them wherever we are in the land, not just when we are around the old folks or around the leadership that have the authority to punish us, but to take these with us. And if we expect to be able to keep the blessings that God gave us, we need to do as God says. We are to be taught these things, not only so we will do them outwardly, but that we will do so out of respect. It says, thou shalt fear God. We need to do this out of respect and fear of God from within our own hearts. Listen, if it becomes part of your heart, a part of a fear of your life, when the parents stop holding punishment over our head, we will keep doing it. We shouldn't have. Listen, I saw this in the paper, and it's in one of those advice columns. She lets these people come in and give their advice and all this stuff. And this was the heading here. It says, no failure if everything is relative. No failure if everything is relative. And the fact is, if everything is relative, then no one fails. No one's right, no one's wrong. Well, that sounds real nice. That sounds really just fine. But what if I think the world would be better off without you? And besides, survival of the fittest, right? So I get you before you get me. It's not wrong, just relative. It can't be wrong. How can it be wrong? If it's wrong, then you're telling me you have absolutes that supersede my absolutes. But wait a minute. But I don't have absolutes that supersede your absolutes. You see what I'm saying? Wait a minute. Let's find a guy who would make the absolutes. It says, these laws, these commandments, these statutes, these judgments of right and wrong are to be in our heart, and they come from the Lord God Almighty. He made the world. He set up the rules. And by the way, they work really well. They work very, very well. So we are to hear the Lord our God and to love the Lord with all our hearts. Remember that? With all our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our intellect, our will. Our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions, with our determination, with our emotions. Why are we going off crazy? Oh, no, listen, everything's okay. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's okay. God's got a handle on things. He knows. He said, well, I don't like what's going on. Well, we're not going to like everything. But God's still in control. Still in control. And remember, He has some promises if we do it His way. If we do it His way, He's given us some promises. Well, the world's a mess out there. Well, how many are doing it His way? Huh? That doesn't mean there's not going to be storms. Listen, the foolish man has built his house upon the sand, and the wise man built his house upon the rock. But the storms came, the floods came. The winds blew on both of them. We all have the storms and the floods, but one guy's house stood still. And one guy who built his life on the sands that just kind of come and go and come and go couldn't stand. We found out, we're supposed to have a relationship with God. Then we're supposed to find out we're supposed to have a relationship with our children. Verse 7, it says, in these words, verse 6 says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, for thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way. What's he saying here? He's saying, listen, we need a relationship with the kids. We need a relationship with the next generation. We are the fathers, if you will. We're the older ones. If we do not pass this on, who's going to pass it on? But wait a minute. I'm not passing on Christmas traditions. We're passing on the Word of God. Now, you may have a Christmas tradition, which is nice and sweet and all those kind of things. When I was growing up, we had one particular star you always put on the Christmas tree because that was grandma's and all this kind of stuff. And that's okay. So you use a Christmas tree, it's heathen. Oh, it's a Christmas tree. We're not going to bow down to it. But listen, you're right, don't bow down to it. Don't make that more important than the things of God. That's the important thing. I mean, listen, we're here for, now what he says, teach the word. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. That means to point, to prick, to pierce, to instruct, to indoctrinate. Teaching the Word of God is to be a priority. Wherever we are, we ought to have it in our heart, and we teach you how we're going to do that. We're going to talk about the Word of God. It says, and thou shalt talk of them. Talk of them. Arrange it. Pronounce it. Explain it. That's not just the preacher. He says, we're supposed to talk. He says, it's supposed to be in our hearts. And then we're supposed to give it and transfer it to the next generation's hearts. He says, talk about him. How? When thou sittest in thine house, when you're just having family time. It should be part of your vocabulary. When thou walkest by the way, when your course of life, when you just come up with a teaching opportunity. You've heard me all this. This is old stuff for most folks. If you're here the first time, that's why I'm going so fast here. But when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, in the quiet times of the evening before you're ready to go to bed. There's a little quiet times. There ought to be some quiet times. When thou risest up in the morning, when you start a new day. We're supposed to be spending time with others. Listen, we are so busy texting and playing video games and talking on the phone and this and that and the other thing. I'll be honest with you, there's very little personal contact. Soul to soul. Spirit to spirit. There's something different. You can't transfer spirit over that digital thing. It just doesn't work. That's why we get together. You say, well, I can listen to the TV and I can get my church. It's not the same. Somehow we got to rub shoulders with other Christians. It holds us accountable somehow. We've got to have that fellowship. There's a soul that speaks to soul, spirit that speaks to spirit. We've got to have that. We have to have that connection. And we need that with the next generation. It's not, well, children ought to be seen and not heard. I'm glad that most of that's out of the way these days, but sometimes we still practice that. All kids are a bother to us. Too often, they're just a bother, into trouble, this and that and the other thing. World would be better without them, and then we wouldn't have any world. They are our next generation. We're supposed to talk to our children about what? The truth of the Word of God, about fearing God. And by the way, ought to be a good example of that, of fearing God. About keeping His commandments. Discuss things, how God's Word applies in everyday lives. He says, take the Word with you. Verse 8 says, thou shalt bind them upon thy hands as a sign. He says, you need to knit together. You almost need to be married to these things. That word bind is almost like the same term as you have from being married, bound to one another. He says, as a sign, as a signal, as a red flags. The Word of God will be sending up red flags. The Holy Spirit will teach us. He says, I'll bring all things to your remembrance as you learn them. But He can't bring something to your remembrance if you didn't remember them. You need to spend some time learning them things. Think about those things. But as a mess, frontless before thy eyes, they ought to be blinders. I shouldn't be going where I shouldn't be going. They ought to be telling us what we need to do. We need to be constant reminders. We're supposed to be making the Word of God a priority in our lives. Watch. That's the rules. If we expect to see the blessings of God that God has promised, if we expect to see the blessing that God has promised in the lives of our children, we need to do these things this way. Get the Word of God in our heart. Talk of them wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Learn them. Get them in part of your heart. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're doing here now. Again, I tell folks, will say, well, what's your discipleship program? We're in it right now. We're doing it right now. That's what church is all about. They were daily in the apostles' doctrine. Go to church. You know what the problem is? We got ourselves off doing a lot of other things. We're going to go worship God. And so we're going to do all these things here, you know, and worship God and feel all pumped up. And He comes up and gives you a five-minute ditty. And we're gone. And we haven't done the job. We can't face tomorrow because we haven't dug our foundation into the rock of the firm foundation. We're trying to live off the fluff. You can't live on fluff. In fact, Christmas has been around. Makes everything fluffy. But you know what? I don't feel as good when I live off the fluff. You know what? When we go to Old Country Buffet, I'm probably going to get a salad. I will probably put broccoli on it. Now, not a lot, but I'm probably going to put broccoli on it. There'll be a couple pieces on there. If you break those little things, those little flowers, and you know, just put a little sprinkle on the top of it. No, I'll put some spears on there. Why? Because you realize you can't live off the fluff. You can live off the momentum for a little while, but after a while, all of a sudden, am I the only one? By the time Christmas is done, I'm kind of feeling, you know? Because, you know, you had your ham and your meatballs and the cookies and the candies and the cakes and the sugary things and the soda. My mom makes homemade root beer. And my grandmother, her mother started that years ago. And you drink that stuff, you know, and you feel like this when you're done, you know. But you got to have some anyway. We need to base our life on the promises. Now, last time we talked about this. We need to trust the process. I got that far. We need to trust the process, the rule. So that's the rule. When things are slim, things aren't going well, that's the rule. That's how you live life. Keep your nose in the book. Keep it going in your heart. When things are good, that's still the rule. Because if we get off of that, we're going to get ourselves in trouble down the road. Look at verse 10. God keeps his promises. And this shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers. God promises this will work. He promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, he says, you better watch out. See, God promises good things are going to happen. But if we do not continue the process, we cannot expect God to continue the promises. If we don't continue the process, we cannot expect God to continue the promises. Well, we did that with our children. Well, do it with the grandkids. Now, look, it didn't say, okay, thou shalt, you're going to sit down here, you're going to do this and this and this and this and this. No, it says you're going to talk to them when they get up in the morning. You're going to talk to them when you head out the out to work and out to school. You're going to talk to them when you come back down, come home for dinner. You're going to talk to them when they get ready to go to bed. You're going to talk to them when you're out at the grocery store. You're going to talk to them when you're doing the yard work. You're going to talk to them. This is the Word of God. If it's in your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And so there, if the Lord is in abundance in your heart, it's going to flow out of there somewhere along the way. And you know what the kids are going to say? I don't know if I believe it yet, but Mommy and Daddy do. And after a while, they stick around long enough, they're going to start saying, did you see what God did in Mommy and Daddy's life? I heard Mommy and Daddy the other night, they were saying they didn't have any money for this and that and the other thing. They prayed. And we got it. We got so many new folks here. I'll tell the story. When Jad and I were going to college, when I was going out to Howells Anderson College, a lot of things took place. And by springtime, I didn't have any money. Didn't know where, you know. I'd been laid off from work, and we had bills paid and to pay, and we had rented a house that we owned in Maryland. But those folks said, "We're going to Alabama. We're going back home. We're not leaving. We're not paying the bills anymore." So we had a rent bill, and we had a mortgage bill, and we had a school bill, and we had to get around. Her dad was dying of a brain tumor in Rochester, Buffalo. I can't remember which one it was. And her mother had gotten so tired going back and forth, she actually fell asleep at the wheel. She had an accident, broke her neck. So one's in Buffalo, one's in Rochester, and she's got one of those halos screwed into her head. And I mean, just talking about anything. And if you miss too many classes, you lose that class out there. You lose the whole class. And so just crazy stuff going on. And we had these little shoes, these dress shoes that Sterl, our oldest son, he's 28 now. We would squeeze on his feet. Well, kids grow. Ingrates. Anyway, we had these little dress shoes we put on his feet, and it got so that we'd squeeze them on there. So these nice little round toes would actually square up. That's how, and, you know, just, and I mean, they hurt, but we're gonna wear your dress shoes, your church shoes. We're gonna wear your dress shoes to church, and it was got to be bad. And so one night it was on Sunday night, and I was at work on Monday. I guess I was still working at that point, but I was working on that night and Janice said that they were talking about these shoes. Of course, he was thinking about it. He was 4, 5, and he says, "Well, they hurt me, Mom." He said, "Well, I don't know what." She says, "Well, can't we pray for some new ones?" Amen. Come on. Well, yeah. And some of you have seen this. So he said, okay. Well, he said, "Well, why don't you pray for some new shoes?" So a four-year-old kid gets on his knees by the bed, and he says, "Dear Jesus, I need some new shoes to go to church in. Thank you." And he did this. That was Monday night. Tuesday morning, A lady came to my wife. She says, my son went to a wedding. He has a pair of dress shoes I know he'll never wear again. Do you think your son could wear them? She didn't go tell anybody. We told the father. So by, she said, well, let's see what they look like. So Wednesday, the lady brings them to her. They were leather. I mean, you don't buy nice leather shoes for a four-year-old boy, you know, but they were nice leather shoes and just a little big, you know how you do for a little boy because they're going to grow into them, all that stuff. Put them on there. So before he went to church the next time on Wednesday night, he had new shoes. God can do things. But the fact is, we kind of forgot. We did. But we had all along been saying, well, God will do it. We would take them to the church, been teaching the principles and so forth. And in the midst of all the stuff we had going on, we kind of got lost. But you know what? It still got passed on. The principle was still being passed on. And he said, well, let's just ask him. And so we did. And he got it. Now listen, watch me. I'm talking to tell stories. Our kids, you may say, well, our kids don't seem to get it. We would try, you know, our kids don't get it. Well, let me ask you some questions. Have you made the law of God with its commandments and its statutes and its judgments a priority in your home? Now, don't say anything. Have you made it a priority? Not just religion. Not, watch me, not just church, going to church on Sunday and doing your weekly duty, but in your life during the week. Now watch out. This is not, I'm not talking about serving in the ministries, but I'm talking about continuing the required process. Now I'm all for folks serving in the ministry. I'm all for that. We should, within reason. I understand that. But that's not the process. The process is the Word of God hidden in your heart to become part of who you are, your very soul, so that you can talk about this, so it comes out of the abundance of who you are. It's not just, watch, it's not just talking the talk. It's walking the walk. It's not just looking like we believe and going through an intellectual process, but it's having it in your heart and having it truly be a spiritual process. And if not, if that's not the case, if not, then we haven't done what God has required. We have not worked the process. Whether it's because we don't trust the process or that we're simply lazy, but if we do not work the process, we cannot claim the promises. We cannot expect the promises to come unless we're willing to take the time to work the process. Well, I took the kids to church and they played all the games and sang all the songs, and why isn't it working? Is it in their hearts? Is it in your hearts? Or are we just kind of talking about it? Is this your life at home? If we take our children to church and churches faithful in teaching these things, and then we as parents and leaders in our homes do not follow through with the teaching ourselves to a large extent, we all fail, I understand, but to a large extent, then what are we teaching our children? What we're teaching them is that the church is not relevant in real life. We take them to church, they teach the principles, then we go home and do something different. We are teaching them that the Word of God is not relevant. We're not passing it on, we're stealing it from them. We're telling them that the Bible principles are just utopian concepts that are to be left behind the church doors and not carried into life with the rest of us. God said, teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest down in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, when thou bind upon a sign upon thine hand, upon they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house and on the gates. Listen, if making these principles a daily priority has not been a part of your life, then start now, whether your kids are still in the house or not, but start now. They can see something happen. If we do not spend time with our kids and teach them diligently and talk of the law and the statutes and the judgments day and night, how are they ever going to know what God has done? If they don't know what God has done, how will they ever learn to fear God? And if they don't fear God, why would we ever expect them to obey Him? And then we wonder why it's not working the way we want. Are we serious? So, well, I failed. God can do great and mighty things. Start now. Today. If they do not obey God, I'm not talking about traditions. They do not obey God, they have no claim to the promises of God. We've stripped them of their promises. It says we're supposed to be rehearsing this over and over, and it's going to help refresh them in the mind. Now watch me. God sticks to His promises, if we stick to the process. Look at verse 12. This is interesting. Verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, where were we just before that? Verse 11, it says, your houses are full of good things. God's given you things. You've seen it. It's almost like Oprah. Forgive me, Lord. Oprah had somebody, years ago, had somebody on her show, and it was something about the universe gives it to you. You remember that thing? Somehow the universe just kind of sends it your way if you've got positive vibes or something. I don't know. And you know what? The old Satan will give you anything you want if it'll keep you from looking to him. See, we think we're in bad shape because we got to pray. Now, God says, I'm keeping you in good shape by keeping your focus on me. The prosperity of fools shall destroy him. And we all have a little foolishness bound in our heart. And so the devil loves to destroy us, so he'll give you whatever it takes to destroy you. Just because we got a lot of money in our pocket doesn't mean it's a good thing. But old Oprah says, well, just come. Listen, when God has blessed us, we do this. God does bless us. But after a while, the blessings, we get used to the blessings, and we get so attached to the blessings, we forget the blesser. And he knew that. That's where we are in our society. That's where we started several weeks ago. We struggled. We got our nation, 200 years ago, we struggled. We begged God. And God has blessed. We kept our eyes on him. God blessed. He made us the greatest nation the world has ever known. And some generations came up that we forgot to give them the reason. It's the Lord who gives us power to get wealth. He is our helper. He never slumbers nor sleeps. The reason we're where we are because we sought God and God kept his promises when we made him a priority and worked the process. But we stopped working the process. And so now he says, you know what happens? We forget. Look at that verse 12. He says, beware. Be on guard. Now watch this. There's several things that word beware means. It means protect yourself. Attend to. Watch this. Put up a hedge. It has the word hedge in there. Put up a hedge against any accidental movement in any other direction other than where I'm supposed to be going. When I was a kid, I had Hot Wheels. Now, if you ever play with Hot Wheels, you send them across the kitchen floor. Do you know what they usually do? Yeah, they kind of spin out, you know, and that's fun, you know. Kind of they kind of go for a while. There's always one. They had, you know, those axles were like pins, and they always get bent. You know, so you got this one wheel looks like, you know, out the side here, you know, and but you shoot those things across, you know, and they kind of bend around. They're spinning all this kind of stuff and so forth. But if you put them on the track, they'll go where they're supposed to go. They'll do the loop-de-loop. They'll go around the corner. In fact, you get a little thing there. It'll even run right through the thing and just keeps kicking it through again. I had this thing called Johnny Lightning. I remember there was a few other things. And you had this little, it'd go up this hill and off it'd go, and it'd go around the thing, looping around there, coming around. And you hit it just right, and you shoot that thing through, and it would go through. But if you, now, it had a little piece of plastic at the top of the hill. If you take that off, well, this thing goes, choo! It was great. You could shoot them. Man, you could shoot them for, you know, 15 or 20 feet. You know, they bounce off the wall. But you put this little thing, this little guard there, and it had great big sidewalls. So especially when it was first shooting, you really had to keep it. So what in the world are we talking about there? I'm talking about walls and hedges, boundaries. We're not going there. He said, beware. Put up a hedge. Because we're not careful, we're going to be freewheeling it. And we're going to be spinning out. We're going to have a life that's a mess. He says, watch. He says, beware, put a hedge up, be on guard, lest thou forget. Lest. In other words, we certainly don't want it to happen. It might happen. We don't want that to happen. Now, listen very carefully to the word forget. I love this. The word forget simply means to mislay it. To mislay it. Do you ever mislay your car keys? You're not going very far without your car keys. You just forgot where you put them. You mislaid them. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to try to be very nice. You're here. I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm going to be very nice to you. Hang on. People have mislaid Sundays. We've mislaid Sundays. You say, well, Sunday's my only day off. It's my only day to sleep in. It's my only day to go boating. It's my only day to go golfing. It's the only day we can have little league sports. It's the only day to spend time with my family. But we've forgotten, we've mislaid Sunday. Now the Sunday is the Lord's day. That means it belongs to Him. Okay? It doesn't belong to us. Sunday is a day set aside to help us do some of the things that are part of that process. To get the Word of God in our heart. I've had people that won't come to church on Sunday, but they want me to take 2 hours every week out of my schedule and counsel them privately. Now, I will counsel privately. I'll take all the time I can with you. But if you don't have time for Sunday, I don't have much time for that. Because you see, we want to come to God on our terms. God set aside the Lord's day. And the Lord's day is when we're supposed to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you. I like that. Listen, I'll teach you all things. And when we're learning all things, it's lo, I'm with you. Always. He'll teach you all things, be with you all the way. Now watch out. Sunday is when there's times we teach the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies. Now America has had Sundays off because it was diligent in trying to pass on the fear of the Lord. Somewhere America forgot to put a hedge about their Sundays. They didn't put the hedge up so that to make sure that nothing would interfere with the process. We mislaid Sundays. In fact, we've mislaid the Lord in general. In fact, the word mislaid, along with that thing that says don't forget, means to kind of be oblivious to. You've mislaid it, you've laid it aside, we're oblivious to it. He says, beware lest thou forget or mislay the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Look at verse 13. It says, thou shalt fear thy God, the Lord. Thou shalt fear thy God, the self-existing one, the Lord. We are to revere and even be frightened. Watch, we ought to revere God, but we ought to be frightened if we don't revere Him. the fear of God. It means to respect him, to revere him. But you know what? If we're not revering him, we ought to be scared that we're not revering him. My mom used to say, don't work on Sunday, because his Aunt So-and-so always said that she wouldn't even do needlework. Any stitch you put in on Sunday, you're going to have to pick out with your nose on Monday. And I don't know if that's the case, you know, necessarily. But we'll tell you this, we ought to give him the whole day. We ought to give him the whole day. Now I'm being mean here. You might think I'm being mean, but I'll be honest with you, I'm being nice. Because I want you to see the promises come to truth, to come to fruition. You've got to put him first. He'll take care of the needs. Well, I'm just telling you. Now, I know the jobs are an issue. I understand. I do. I understand that jobs are an issue and so forth and so on, and sometimes you can't do it. But tell you the truth, you've got to do everything you can to put this first. He says, thou wilt fear him, watch, and serve him. That means to work, to enslave. Well, I'm not having any fun anymore, so I guess God doesn't want me to be a hypocrite, so I'm going to stop. No, he doesn't want you to be a hypocrite, so get your heart right. Amen. Turn the cat around. Right. Rub the cat around with no. Turn the cat around. This is no fun, Dad. He already says, well, you know, I was drugged when I was a kid. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Sunday night, and drugged to church on... Amen. Now, I'll tell you what. If you're just dragging them to church and giving them a tradition, no wonder they turned away. But if you're living this out and God... Listen, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, faith. That's your temperament at home. Eventually they're going to say, well, I don't know what mom and dad, I'm not sure how this works, but mom and dad have something I don't have. They may not like being taken to church, but I tell you what, start now. So you got these folks, we got a half a dozen ladies around here who's expecting. Bring them in here as soon as you can. I'm talking week or two, three. Doctor, don't take them to church for the first six months. Foo in the doctor. Get them in here. Become part of who they are. He says, watch, serve him. Then it says, watch, and shalt swear by his name. But what does that mean? That means you learn that you can trust God so much that you bet on it. You bet your bottom dollar on it. God will provide. I know you're not supposed to bet, but it's not a gamble when you know it's true. He gave you a promise, go out on a limb with him. Now, don't create your own limb and go out and ask God to come out with you. But I will tell you this. He said that if I'll get it in my heart and I transfer it to their heart, he says, not only will things go good, but it will increase mightily. I'll be able to stay where I am. He'll give me what I'm supposed to have, and I'll be able to stay there. 14, ye shall not go after other gods and of the gods of the people which are around about you. Now let me read that verse just the way it says all the way through as you get the idea. Verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Now watch me. Your kids, if you do this right, your kids will not be learning to love and to trust the foolishness of this world. To love and trust the philosophy of this world. To love and trust the wealth of this world. To love and trust the heroes of this world. I'll tell you who your hero, who you're supposed to be looking unto, the author and finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God. God's not going to share you with the world. So is he your God or not? You're married. Those of you who are married, think about your spouse. Who do you want to share your spouse with? In fact, anybody that your spouse is being shared with all of a sudden becomes an enemy. You might have thought they were your friend, but all of a sudden now they're your enemy. Well, that sounds familiar. Mr. James says in 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." I'm going to give you one last thing here, and we're going to have to stop. Whew. I don't know whether you're getting anything out of this, but I am. Verse 16. Now, hold on. Watch me. Don't look. All the things we've talked about, going through the process. We do the process, we can claim the promises. Don't play with the process. Make the process a priority. We do the process. He says, "I'll give you some promises." Now, watch verse 16. "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah." Now, watch me. Well, you know what? I know the preacher kind of gets all upset. I guess he's probably supposed to say those things in his church, you know, and he's one of those loudmouth Baptist guys. You know, it's probably supposed to be like that. But, you know, we really aren't doing all that badly. I mean, we have our issues and our problems, but we're okay. You know what it says, don't tempt the Lord God? You know what that says? Don't push it. Don't push it. God may have been cutting you a little slack. He's not willing to, he's not slack as men count slackness, but in all things is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's not just salvation, that's also in our life. He's a Christian boy, he's got some problems, but I'm going to let him go through some issues here and give him every chance to come back on his own. He doesn't want to hurt you, but he says, don't push it. Do you ever have Christmas? The kids are wound up, they're high on sugar, and they're bouncing off the walls. And you understand the issues. And you were a kid once, and you know, I mean, you're excited, and it's Christmas, and you know, you're full of red dye number 4, whatever it is, you know, and all this stuff. It's okay. And you kind of give them a chance, but you know what? And after a while, you realize that they realize you're cutting them a little slack. Mom, you know what I'm saying? Mom and Dad are busy doing this and that and the other thing, and they're not going to yell at me as long as Aunt So-and-so is here, because she'll tell everybody in the world, so they're not going to yell in front of her, you know, and all this stuff's going on. And they push it, and they push it, and they push it, and all of a sudden you turn around and say, I'm done. Don't push God till he's done. He may be cutting us some slack. He says, don't you tempt me. Don't push me. Now, he's not mad. He's not angry. And it's not like he's getting mad. He's going to smack you. But you're going to say, well, they're not learning. Pastor Dallas read it this morning out of Hebrews. He chastens whom he loves. I can't let it go any further because it's going to hurt them further. Don't push your luck with God. Don't put pressure on God and make him prove to you that he is really the only God of the universe and no one can mock him. Just because you think you've been getting away with it, being casual about your relationship with God, don't think you're going to get away with it forever. Our lack of diligence will most likely come back to haunt us one way or another. I got to stop here. I want to go to the next section. All rolls together. Sometimes I wish the Bible was written out. Point number 1, A, B, C. Point number 2, A, B, C. He didn't write it like that. Well, I'll just go back to the main point. If we're faithful to the process, we can claim the promises. But the process takes diligence, takes consistency. If you went to work and one day some guy walks in late and the boss says, "Where in the world have you been?" Jumps all over the guy. Next day he walks in late and comes his high boss and says, "Hey, you doing all right? Good, good to see you." And you never know which way it's going to go. You don't know whether guys, you said, "Well, it depends on whether I'm in a good mood or whether I'm in a bad mood." That has nothing to do with it. See, we do the same thing with God's word. We do the same thing with living for Him. One day, "Well, I want to do it this day." "Well, today I'm not really feeling that way." "Well, I think we'll go to church today." "Well, I don't know. Let's not go to church today." "And then the ball game's on. I don't know." I'm being mean here. I know you might think I'm being mean. I'm not. I want to help you. I understand work. I understand there's some things you cannot get out of. If you can get that rearranged, rearrange it. If you can't, you got to do what you got to do. But you know when you have a choice? You have a choice. What do you choose? Is a word down in your heart enough that it comes out? When you speak, it's a part of who you are. Not traditions, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments become part of who you are. It's amazing what God can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, it's I know it draws us right to you, helps us make some decisions, come face to face with who we are. And Lord, you're not expecting perfection because you know who we are. But Lord, we want us to be people after your heart, pursuing your heart. Lord, speak to us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.